Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today is a really, really hot day in the South. Wow, we're going to be up to 100, and the humidity is right along with it. You know, we're really into the deep summer now. Everybody should be out on vacation, school should be out, and be on to having and enjoying ourselves. But you know what? Today I've got a lot of messages on Facebook and quite a few emails. There's a lot of people who are not enjoying themselves right now. And I know that there's a lot of people hurting right now. It seems like in the past few weeks I've had so many people, they're either emotionally, spiritually, or physically depleted. There's been so many things coming up lately. Dementia, Parkinson's, a lot of people that are in the hospital and want to get out and go to home to pass on, and their families won't allow that. There's a lot of people who are just looking for drugs or looking for solutions to be able to take them out of their pain. And there's still others who are getting help, but it just doesn't seem like it's ever enough. So today, my guest is Sunny Dawn Johnston, and I've known her probably for many years. I had the pleasure of meeting her in the 90s, and she has done some wonderful things in the last two decades, and she'll be sharing that with us today. She is an angel person, as I like to call her, but she likes to call herself an inspirational speaker and a compassionate spiritual teacher. She is an acclaimed psychic medium, the author of Invoking the Archangels, a 9-step process to heal your body, mind, and soul. She also has some other books, and also she's had a lot of other things that she's done. She's been on radio. She will be on TV coming up. She'll share a little bit with that. And she does a lot of work. She really gets out there and helps people that really feel like they are just at that same point where I just said. They're just at that point where, you know, you're in the abyss or you're in this tipping point and you really just need to grasp onto something. So it's really great to have her with us today. So, Sunny, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a great day here. How about out there? It's always a great day in Phoenix. Come on.
It's a great day. It's a warm day, too. I think, like, I don't know, we're going to hit 108 or 109. I saw a whole bunch of 100 and something. So, you know, at this point in the summer, you don't even look at the weather. You just go, it's hot.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, since I lived there and now I live here in New Orleans, you know, two totally different types of heat. But, you know, I think I will take the Sedona one over the one here. It is so humid. When you go outside, you feel like you simply cannot breathe. So it's kind of
crazy. You
know,
yeah. I don't do the humidity. We were just in Texas doing a weekend event Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last week, and we got off the plane, and I'm like, oh, there's that wet again. And, you know, people make a joke out of it and think when we talk dry heat that it's actually funny, but it's true. It's really true.
I know. It's so different. It actually is. Well, you know, it's a pleasure to have you with us. I know you have so many things coming up these days, and you've been a very busy person, like I said, in the last two decades. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because a lot of people, while you and I are of, you know, the culture, we understand angels and spirits and mediums, you know, that is where certain places you live in the country, you know, a lot of people may have been exposed to that or not, but I do have a lot of listeners that have no clue what that actually even means. It's like, I don't know what it means, and maybe you need to just enlighten or define the words.
Sure. You know, I'm a psychic medium, and I'm also a spiritual teacher, angel communicator. I help people connect with the spirit world in a variety of different ways, whether that's deceased loved ones, whether it's learning to develop your intuition and help you to understand how to interpret the messages from the spirit world, whether it's to connect with angels. So I really help people in developing their connection with the spirit world in a variety of different ways. And so I teach classes and workshops on that. I write books on that. I'm doing a television show on that. And so it's really kind of an opportunity to expand the awareness to you know, our sixth sense instead of just our five senses. And so for those people that are not, you know, this is new to, you know, a lot of times they're having intuitive experiences, or they might call it a gut feeling or a sense of something, but not really understand it any further, you know, than that. And what I do is help people connect the fact that, you know, this intuition is coming from somewhere. It's because we are spirit embodied, and that's where that information is coming from, is a connection to our spirit, to God, to the divine, whatever, the God of your understanding, whatever that is. And the reason I do this is because, you know, I was also one of those people at one point that didn't have experiences and lived in an environment where it wasn't really talked about and shared. And so I had to, you know, learn on my own what some of these things were and how they came about, and didn't necessarily want to open up to some of it because I was scared, because it was weird, because it was different, because I didn't fit in. And so I understand that, and it's just an opportunity now to really expand out of just what we know and learn a little bit more.
And I think that now, probably in the last 5 years, more and more people are starting to understand that there has to be something else out there besides themselves. I mean, I'm a little older than you, but I can remember in the 50s and 60s when I grew up, it was all about, you know, you get out there and you get everything you possibly can, and that's the way of life is going to be, you know. And then in the 80s and 90s, it was how high can you go? You know, and then we had the economic crisis, we had storms, you know, we had Katrina here, and it was all, then it kind of went to a just, you know, it just flat, the bottom fell out, and people started to say there has to be more to life. And I think those events in history, you know, correlate with what we learn about ourselves and about our spirit world, and just, you know, why are we actually on this earth in the first place?
Right, right. And I do think that it helps us, you know, in my language, I would say it to make it simple, it helps us to get out of our head and into our hearts, you know, out of our ego and into our spirit. And so we become less focused on the material world and everything that we, you know, that we're trying to get and gain, and instead become more focused on a spirit world. Even if you don't believe in a God necessarily, spirit can be, you know, the wind and the water and the earth and those types of things. But as we kind of expand and focus on that, we live more from a heart place instead of a head place, and that's where we start to find our peace. And, you know, I think it was interesting the way that you started the conversation in that there's so many people that are really struggling. You know, I was just saying this yesterday. A friend of mine, his dog is getting ready to transition, and they're having to make that decision. And in the last 4 days, I've had 3 friends, this will be the fourth, that have had to let their dogs go. And, I mean, one every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you know, and our animals are, you know, like our fur children, so to speak. They're a part of our family, and yet that unconditional loving thing to do is to be able to release them and let them move on into freedom. And so definitely it's a time of challenge, and could be a time of expansion and opportunity in expanding if we're willing to look at it that way.
I think that so many people are having these challenges now, and the bonds are seeming to be so tight right now between family members and ill family members, or like you said, with pets and family members. They're holding on so tightly now that you could almost hear them crack. I last night, even in my dream, I heard this really loud, you know how those, if you put 2 metal grates together, you could hear them grinding together, and then all of a sudden I heard this crack, and they dropped together. And I was going, wow, that's really weird, you know?
Wow.
But it's like these people, too, that are just, you know, they're holding on so tightly to that which they believe, and it's...
Absolutely.
Hard.
I wonder if they're
draining them out. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe they're holding on so tightly to their fear of letting go also. You know, one of the things that I've been doing is I just completed, literally yesterday, sent in my final manuscript for my next book, and the title of it is The Love Never Ends, Messages from the Other Side. And it's really intended to be a book of hope and of another way that we can walk through the journey of illness and transition from a place of hope and love instead of from a place of fear and anger and sadness, and looking at it from a place of expansion instead of what am I going to lose. And so throughout this book, and even in writing the book, I had a lot of opportunities because I was in that energy to observe other people and some of the choices that they've made, and or in my own life, choices that I made to either allow it to expand me or allow it to contract me. And the more we contract, the more pain we experience, and the more we expand, I believe, the more love we experience through the process. And as much as this can be difficult for people to hear and not very popular, it really is a choice. We do have a choice in the way we respond to life experiences, and we can choose, if we're conscious and present in the moment, we can choose to respond through love or to react through fear.
And, you know, I think, as you said, you know, about experiencing being in the moment with this end-of-life thing, I always call it end-of-life thing, but I've been working with people, you know, over the past 2 years. They would seem to just generate or just come to me and ask me those questions. And one woman I had helped, I went to her house, and she just wanted help after a hospital visit. And actually within 5 days, she had said, we had gotten to the point, is that she said she wanted a new heart because hers was broken. And we talk about this all the time on this show. I've always mentioned it, is that, so I said, well, how does that look for you? And she said that she wanted to go to the transplant doctor from Paris that was in town here, and she needed to see him to see what he thought. And we went in to see him. He looked right at me, and he said, I'd suggest you enjoy today. And I knew what that meant, and we just, you know, toddled on our way out. And, of course, she did not do well. And she said, am I going to die today? And I said, not today. So I took her around all the places, you know, that she used to know and everything and where she grew up. And she did die and pass away within, I think it was within 2 weeks of that appointment. But, you know, for some people, they get right up to that door of wanting to say, they look back at their life, and she went through that, and she said, my life, what was it worth, or what did I do, or what did I help, or, you know, I can't leave because I'm going to leave problems with other people. And I think a lot of people are in that spot right now. I know a lot of family members, they're saying, you know, oh, I just want to die, you know, it's just not working out for me, my life is not what I thought it would be. And I went, you know, and you could just almost feel that energy sometimes when you speak with these people, and I'm sure you've come across that.
Oh, sure. You know, I think that it's that, to me, is the head talking, you know, when we're in that place. And unfortunately, for many people, they've been trained to only work from the head, and we really need to get into our hearts and into our spirit. When we're in our hearts, we can see the value that we have brought into this world based on our own life experiences. When we're in our heads, we're just measuring it. It's a form of judgment, and we're measuring it, excuse me, based on whatever, based on other people's beliefs, our own limited thinking, but it's in judgment and or comparison. And whenever we're in judgment or comparison, number one, it probably doesn't feel good, and number two, it's coming from the ego.
Right.
And it's fear-based. And so we want to get into a place where it's more love-based. And it doesn't mean that we don't experience pain. You know, I've had many losses in my life through suicide, through difficult deaths, through my own, you know, I've lost 3 children in between my 2 when I was pregnant, a variety of different things. And what I recognize in myself now is that each one of those, when I was younger, absolutely, I went into depths of pain. But as I got older, they expanded me into a better person, a greater teacher, a more present being in this world, and in that way, then I could help other people. But it was a conscious choice. Literally, when my dear friend committed suicide 2 years ago, and I had just got the phone call after the initial shock of the 10 minutes of, oh, my God, and driving there, I made a conscious choice to walk this experience with love. And I had to continue to call in my angels and ask for help and ask for support and let the spirit world support me, because the physical world in that situation couldn't. Everybody was in pain and everybody was in anger and sadness and all of that. And I had to, for myself, chose to stay in a place of love as I walked through that.
And so many people can't see that there is a choice, because they don't know or have not experienced it in the past. And I think a lot of people may end up going through and transitioning and never coming into their heart. They may just go and that will be that, you know. And
right.
It's really not much.
And that's possible.
You cannot control it. Right.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, that's possible. And there isn't anything we can do besides to hold the vision that people can find. Ultimately, I do believe that people come to the place they need to be, and whether that's through one experience, like I said, when I was younger, I didn't see them that way, but, you know, 20 years later or mm-hmm. 10 years later, I can, or 15 years later, I can experience it from a different place. And so we all have the opportunity to do that if we're willing to. And,
yeah.
And we can't judge where somebody else is. I want to say that, too. We can't judge where somebody else is. Oftentimes in my classes, I'll say to people, you know, when they come to class and they're like, well, nobody else understands why I'm in these classes, why I'm learning about angels, or why I'm talking about my grandfather coming to visit me, or why I want to connect so much with my husband who just died. They don't understand it. And so a lot of times what I tell people is, but you're in the experience. So 5 years ago, would you have been able to come to a class like this? 5 years ago, were you asking these questions? And oftentimes then people can go, yeah, you know what, I wasn't. And so I always tell them, so these people haven't had the experience to call those questions to them yet in the same way that you have. It doesn't mean it's not possible or that they can't. It just means that it hasn't happened yet.
And it does take a while. And I think once you do learn all the techniques that will be able to help you yourself, you'll be able to share those with others. And that's really how things are going forth right now, is that other people are learning and experiencing different things, and you know, you say, it'll be okay, let's look at it, or let's be, or just I'm present with you, or whatever that might be, and that may help another person.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it, that we all end up being able to have the ripple effect of life, you know, and that sharing and helping, it's a ripple effect. That's the best way I could describe it.
You know, it's really interesting. We talked about this on Global Warming Show the other day about the internet and all the difference it's had in people's lives and actually in history, because we wouldn't be able to be talking on this phone doing this process just 10 or 15 years ago. Many people might not have found out your books, you know, because publishing was so hard 30 years ago. So really, life has really changed so rapidly, and I think we just are just along for the ride, and we're learning everything at rapid speed.
Well, and you know, absolutely, I think that the internet has created an opportunity for us to be able to connect, also to have even people who tend to isolate themselves have an opportunity to isolate physically, but still be able to reach out energetically and connect with groups and organizations and socialize through social media and things like that. So we do have that opportunity if we choose to. And we have access to things that we didn't have access to before. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I was seeing my guardian angel, and I was seeing a ghost that lived on our stairs, and I was seeing auras, and I was experiencing, excuse me, people's energy and emotions and things like that, and not really necessarily understanding it. And there weren't, outside of my mother and a couple of her friends who were open and metaphysical New Age, there weren't people to talk to about it. Nowadays,
right.
Different. Now we have radio shows like this all over the place that are opening up for conversation. We have television shows that are exploring, you know, these kind of mystical ideas and beliefs, and, you know, talking about all kinds of things that never would have been discussed 20 and 30 years ago. So I think that you know, absolutely we've expanded as a society, and yet we have pockets maybe that haven't had access to that physically. But, again, the Internet reaches to everyone, and we have that opportunity then there.
You know, it's so interesting because I used to work a lot in the 70s with a lot of people who were in special needs, they called it at the time, and mm-hmm. It would be younger children or older adults. And I can always remember I would sit with them and just listen to them, and everybody would kind of just filter. And when you would go into their buildings, you know, to do crafts or take them somewhere or go to camp or with them or whatever, you were kind of like in this space, and it was almost like it was a different kind of realm you were walking into. It was kind of very difficult to explain. But it wasn't like your normal day-to-day stuff. So you kind of went into their space, and it was a different energy. And you think about it today, and you say, you know, from what we know now, many of those people then potentially we're just giving us some information. It's just we couldn't connect with it, and we couldn't be in that area. You know, just like we say now with children that have autism, it's like they're of a different spirit, or they're in a different space. Or we say with children that can tell us, like that movie, you know, if they've gone to heaven, or they can tell you about heaven or whatever. So there's a lot of still further out we will be going. It's just we haven't connected with that level yet.
Right, and I think that we are always meeting people that, you know, some people are, we're all just in different vibrational spaces, I guess, is the best way that I explain it, and we can't expect people to be in the same place we are unless they've walked our exact steps, and that's just not possible. You know, we all have different fingerprints for a reason. We have an energetic print of where we've been, and so with all of that information, we can get to where we are in this moment today, and I think that if we can be willing to just, you know, what I look at is I think that we all attract to the level and vibration that we are, and whether that's experiences, whether that's people, whether that's opportunities, and so when we can recognize that when opportunities present themselves, and they can be challenging, they can be illness, they can be death, they can be a shift of a relationship, things like that, that it is an opportunity to then expand and grow, if we can look at it from that place.
Do you think sometimes, so there were, you know, when people say I'm on this path and I chose this path, well, sometimes they may choose it, what I like to call, it's a path and drag. In other words, you weren't really paying attention. You were looking at the outer coating of it. You really weren't looking at what was going on, and you took it for face value. So is that a choice? Or is that a choice maybe with a lesson underneath it instead of
being a choice that would be
for you?
I think sometimes we make choices and, you know, like when somebody says, I attracted this situation to me, I do think there are times when we bring situations to us to give us an opportunity to stand up for ourselves or to speak up for ourselves or things of that nature. But I also think that there are choices that we made that we're not necessarily conscious of. So I think that's part of the reason, to me, why it's so important to be present, because we do make choices where we're not really conscious about the ripple effect of that. And can we learn from all of them? Absolutely. You know, I also believe everything happens for a reason, so we have an opportunity to learn from all of them. But it really is, are you looking at it? Are you present? Are you conscious as you learn this opportunity? There's so many people that, you know, the joke that I use is, you know, that marry the same people with a different face. So they've been married
right.
three times, the same type of person, but they have a different face. Well, that's probably because you weren't really conscious or present when you were making some of these choices. However, if we get conscious, we recognize what's manifesting, what's happening around us, and then we could make a different choice.
Interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about how to work with the angels? Because in your book, you talk about what the archangels, their names, and how to work with them.
Yeah, I wrote a book about 3 years ago called Invoking the Archangels, and it's a book that helps you to create a deeper relationship and or begin a relationship if you don't have one or are unaware of your angels around you. And, you know, the most important thing in connecting with our angels is literally just to be able to ask. And to be able to say, you know, angels, I'm open, or please help me, or you can ask for them specifically if you have particular connections with different angels. The book that the reason I wrote the book was because I had a lot of experience throughout my life with the angelic realm, and to me, it really helped me to create some healing and some understanding of who I was, and to embrace and love myself unconditionally. But I started having experiences with angels when I was 13. And so for people who are new to it, one of the great things I like about the book, and I created a companion workbook that goes along with it, is that there's an opportunity in the front to use your intuition and be able to call in your intuition to ask for a few questions, ask a few questions where I assign you a little project. And then from that project, you can start calling your angels in based on what your intuitive guidance said to you. And this is a really, like, people love this exercise because it gives them then an opportunity to develop a relationship with each and every one of at least the archangels that I'm writing about in this book, and help them to validate their experiences so that they can actually have a physical or energetic experience with their angels. And so, you know, when we say, well, how do we work with them, the most important thing is just to ask for their help and their support. But then it's also to be open to receive it. We have to be present. Spirit speaks in present moment, not yesterday and not tomorrow, but in this moment right now, and in this moment right now, and in this moment right now. And if we're not present, we miss the messages. We miss the signs that Spirit is sharing with us, whether that's our deceased loved ones, whether it's the angelic realm, whether it's a spirit guide, any and all of the above.
Interesting. And, you know, I can honestly say that I've said this many times, is that my angels have got to be on a sabbatical because I don't know where they are. So how do we recognize when, you know, and I mean, is that someone who's not asking correctly, or is it someone who's not recognizing or not open? I mean, I guess it could be all three, right?
It could be. I don't think that there's a correct way. I think that's more of our kind of human mind that thinks that we got to do it a right way. The only thing you've got to do is just be willing to ask. But that oftentimes is the problem, is that we forget to ask. You know, when I was 13, when I rolled over in the middle of the night, when I was asleep, I rolled over in the middle of the night, and there was this beautiful, glowing, colorful winged being above my bed. And when I went downstairs the next moment, I wasn't scared. I was very peaceful and calm and just like, ah. And when I went downstairs the next morning, I told my mom, and she said, well, Sunny, that was your guardian angel. And, you know, it resonated with me. I got chills. I knew that was true. But I'd never really thought I had one. And the reason I never really thought I had one is because I wasn't a particularly happy-go-lucky kid. I was depressed. I was overweight. I was struggling with my friendships and things. And so I thought, well, if I had an angel, then surely they wouldn't let anything negative happen to me, and I'd just be happy all the time. And what I realized is that they're not here to change our experience in life. They're here to support us in the choices that we make. They're here to give us some guidance if we're willing to listen. And I hadn't been willing to listen, and still, even after I discovered that, for a good 15 years, wasn't a very good listener. I listened sometimes, but not all the time. And so I don't think that it's it's one or the other in your question, but I do think all of those can apply at any given time. But oftentimes it's because angels speak to us in a very subtle way. They're not the brick on the head, so to speak. It's much more gentle than that. It's more of a subtle feeling like, maybe I should call Sally. And then mm-hmm. you get busy and so you don't call Sally. And that could be our angel's message coming to us and that Sally just needs some support that day. Or maybe it's, I'll give you a story that was a great example for me this is about probably 12 years ago, 15, no, it had to be about 16 years ago, actually. I'm getting older, so my age changes how many years ago it was, shockingly. But I was I had come downstairs. It was really early in the morning, like 5:30, 6 in the morning, and I was downstairs making my tea. I was in my pajamas. It was summertime. It was like July. And I heard very gently, softly, but I heard, go outside, go out front. And I'm like, why would I go out front? That's stupid. It's 5:30 in the morning. Nobody's going to be out front. And so I argued with it. I was like, that's dumb. And I did that for literally like 5 minutes plus. And finally, it just was persistent. It wasn't a brick on the head persistent. It was just this gentle nudge persistence. And finally, I just, oh, my gosh, all right already. And so I went out front. There was a baby, about not quite two, in a diaper, walking right in front of the kitty corner from my house and just heading to what is quite a busy street. And so I ran, obviously, and went and got him, looked around, and there was nobody out there, just this baby. And I thought, oh, my God, whose child is this? And so I picked him up and brought him into my house, and I thought, okay, well, now what do I do? And I jokingly say, now, if it would have been a girl, I would have just kept her and never said a word. Because I already had two sons, so I would have loved to have a little girl. But, and I'm saying that joking, but kind of serious. But so I thought, well, so what do I do? And so I thought, well, I need to call the police and tell them I found this little boy. And then as I picked up the phone to call the police, I heard again, go out front. Now, this time I didn't argue at all. I went right out front because I learned the first time, right? It only takes me 10 times, and I got it. And I walked out front, and there was a lady who was our neighbor, Kitty Corner, that was walking frantically up and down the street. And so I went over, and she saw me with him, and she said, oh, my God, and she came up, and she said, he gets out of his crib. And here in Arizona, and Jeanette, you probably know this, but we tend to crack our garage doors about a foot up during the summer because it's so hot that the garage fills up with heat, and so people oftentimes keep them cracked. Well, their garage was cracked, and this little boy wanted to go for a walk. And so when he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, he just climbed out of his crib, walked out the door, just kind of squeezed himself underneath the garage door and went for a walk. And so it was subtle. And so that's what I think people tend to miss. I even someone who was teaching it at that point, ignored it.
Yeah.
Thank God I listened eventually.
And, sometimes we can call it intuition, too, or we can just call it whatever name, like you said, that we wanted to. I know an acquaintance of mine, the past few days I kept saying to him, you need to call to go and have dinner with your brother-in-law. You have to do it. You have to do it. And I kept pushing. And it really turned into an argument and disagreement, and I kept pushing and pushing. Finally, he did, and he found out that his sister is having Alzheimer's, which he had buried his mother and father with and took care of them for 30 years. So, I'm thinking now that you're saying this, probably the reason in his spirit himself didn't want to go to the meal was because he didn't want to hear that, but he did go and he did hear it, and it was not a good thing for him. But I guess either way, either you can work with it or you can just allow it, I guess, eventually to happen, because it will anyway, right?
Right. And I think that if you can look at some of the messages, even if they're difficult messages to hear, from a place of love. A lot of the book that I'm working on, or that I just finished, I get to say that, just finished, instead of working on, it has lots of stories about that exact thing, where we get some some insights that maybe we're not necessarily paying attention to, and we can make a choice to step into those, but not from a place of fear. Fear just adds more fear, and then it does become difficult and or scary versus, okay, this is going to happen, and I get a choice in how to respond to it. I know I've said that before. It's really important, I think.
Well, Sunny, we have a call. Is it okay if we take one?
Sure, absolutely.
Great. Hello, you're welcome to the show. Would you like to ask Sunny a question? Hello? I guess maybe they've been holding too long.
We had a call, huh?
Yeah, we had a call. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we almost lost her. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, would you like to ask Sunny a question? Their phone isn't working either.
I think we have a bad connection.
A bad connection, huh? Yeah. how can you explain to the listeners about how you do help with people when they have questions, you know? I don't know what's bugging me, but, man, since we started this phone call, I've got my migraine mirage going on, and it was even hard to look at the screen.
Well,
so.
it's probably, that you said that before we did this call, you've gotten a lot of people that are struggling in different areas, and so you've been reading emails and reading messages and talking to people. That I think a lot of times for people that are sensitive, they have a tendency to take on the energy of the people around them, of their pain, of their sadness, of their fears, and oftentimes that manifests in physical ways, and that's one of the ways that we recognize it is because it affects our physical body. And so I would suggest that it's likely for you, Jeanette, that you taking all of that in and feeling the density and the heavy, the heaviness of that energy is really affecting you. So one of the things that, and I speak about this in both of my books and teach about this a lot, is learning how to maintain and or protect our own energy so that we don't absorb the energy of other people. And we have a tendency, because so many people do that naturally, that's why there's also oftentimes a ripple effect of negativity, of fear. And so if we can get to a place of starting to hold our own energy and become a witness to the energy around us, observe the energy around us instead of absorb the energy, then we can become part of the solution instead of the part of the problem. Because what happens when we take it on is that then that's the ripple effect that we start to attract. You know, it starts moving through us. But a lot of times we don't know that, and so when we're taking on, you know, when we're feeling somebody's pain or somebody's sadness, a lot of people can look at that as it's a compassionate thing, and yet it isn't compassionate to ourselves, and it really doesn't actually help the other people. So we want to learn how to hold our own energy so we don't absorb the energy of others.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I can go down the street, and I've said this a zillion times, I could be driving down the road, and I would look to my right and always see something. One time I saw a little old lady sitting on the bus step. She had her little, you know the pail that paint comes in? Well, she had an empty one, and she was folding up her things that she was sleeping on that bench and putting them in her pail. Or we would go down another road, and I would see another woman out sleeping on the sidewalk, you know, in this really big, expensive house. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, look at that. And you know what someone actually said to me? Oh, well, maybe her husband just put her out. And I went, whoa, you're kidding, really? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would see another woman I knew had just passed away, and within 24 hours, everything of hers was out on the street waiting for the garbage people. And it was like, you know, so I see all of these things, and it's very constant. It is almost all the time. I can't go outside without not seeing that, or seeing that, you know, the lady next to us has never left her apartment for a year, and then they came to clean out her apartment. I thought she had passed away, and it was just that, no, she, you know, she's just holed up in there. So you see, I see all these, and people are looking at me like, why are you seeing all these? It doesn't matter. Who cares? And it was just like, whoa. And that would just, that just pretty much, you know, you could feel your energy just go when somebody says something like that, you know? How could you not care about people?
Well, and I think that there are some people that are just, they're much more sensitive to the energy of other people than others. And so the others can turn it off more easily than some of us can. And so we tend to, again, because we're sensitive, we tend to attract the vision or the feeling or the experience that other people wouldn't even observe.
Yeah, they don't even notice it. Well, you can see it, you know, when you're going around.
Exactly.
So what do people do then to be able to protect themselves? How would they hold that vision to be able to protect themselves if they were sensitive
person?
Well,
so what I do is I use the energy of Archangel Michael. When I was young, my mom taught me to do the white light and surround myself in the white light and ask for the white light to protect me so that I don't absorb the energy of other people. But once I started learning about the angels, and in particular Archangel Michael, and learning how to protect my energy with Archangel Michael, then I started using his energy to help protect me. And so what I started doing, and I do this every morning, is do a visualization of surrounding myself in the color blue. Blue represents the energy of protection, guidance, strength, and courage, which represents Archangel Michael. And so I visualize myself in like a blue bubble almost, and I make a statement that basically says, you know, an invocation of sorts. I invoke the blue light of Archangel Michael to surround and protect me from any negative energy or entities seen or unseen. And as I do that, visualizing that blue energy around me, I create that layer of energy to maintain my own so I don't absorb that's around me. And for me, that's been a huge life changer in my own experience, because I am sensitive and I do feel the energy of other people, and I always have. And so it was of extreme importance to me to do that. And not only just do it here and there, but do it consistently.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can honestly say I do that for my children quite often, and they will call me and say, you know what, I just prevented, or you know what, I've just fixed something, or something is different. And you go, yeah, okay. You know, you don't want to tell them that you're doing it, because then they'll never talk to you again, because my kids are like, nah, I don't think so. Mom's just crazy, you know. So you just do it for them, and you just do it on the side. But I do know it has worked for many of them, you know, in many instances. So can you also, in your book, you have a lot of steps that talk about, like, healing the heart and a 9-step archangel process. But do people go through step 1, 2, and 3? Like, do they do 1 and then check it off, and then do 2 and then check it off? Or is this something that's a continuum, and it's just, you just wrote it that way?
Well, I'd say yes to both. Yes, there are some people that just start at step 1 and then they go through step 9. There are others that recognize that, oh, I did step 4 and 5, but I didn't do step 1 and 2. So they go back kind of to the beginning to maybe look at, okay, these are some of the things that maybe I was missing to get to the place of feeling complete, feeling whole, feeling like I've been able to release that situation and or heal from that situation. And so people do it both ways. Basically, what I would say is it doesn't really it's not necessarily about the order, because that's more of the human mind doing that. But is it that these 9 steps, when wanting to get from a place of pain to a place of joy or appreciation or gratitude, if you walk through these 9 steps in whatever order you do, will provide you the opportunity to get there, to get there. And so I think that's the important piece to remember. Does it have to be in that order specifically? No. But for people who like order, that works well for them.
Perfect, because I know a lot of people, course, myself. You know, I always think of, I always like to let the listeners know that, you know, we're all human and we're all normal. You know, I might go through the list and I'll check off one and go to the next. So, but a lot of people will look at it at the overview. But that's great. Now, can you tell us about?
Way.
Can you tell us a little bit about the television show that you'll be doing? A seance with. It's on Lifetime Movie Network.
Right, it is. Yep, it's a Saturday, June 14th at 7 o'clock Pacific time, 10 o'clock Eastern time, and somewhere in the middle for Central and Mountain. And it's called a seance with. Lisa Rinna is the first celebrity that I'm working with on this TV special. This is basically the pilot. And so depending on the viewership of this show, we'll make the choice as to if it's a series or not. And the idea behind the show is really that all people, not just celebrities, people have experiences in life, especially around death, that there are questions that are unanswered, there are a lot of closure that hasn't happened, and so the journey in this show is really a process of connecting with the loved ones of not only the celebrity, but two of their friends that they bring with them, and helping them create understanding, awareness, closure, giving them tips to be able to help them move forward in their life, to help them to understand maybe the way that their loved ones have been around them. And so that's really what the journey of the show is about. And so I have the opportunity to sit with these three people. Seance means to sit with. I have the opportunity to sit with these three people and allow spirit to come to me and through me to help them move through their pain, their loss, and help them to understand it.
Sounds so interesting, because I know a lot of people, they say, I've been carrying that with me for my life, or it's something that has really bothered me. And so I think you could almost ask almost anybody, and they will say they have something like that with them, that they carry with them.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that, too, the younger we are, when things like that happen, the less explanation we get sometimes, and as was the case in Lisa's situation. And so I think it's going to be a very interesting show for people, because I do think many people will relate to her situation and or the challenges that came from it. And so it gives us an opportunity to speak to situations that a lot of people don't ever talk about and don't want to talk about or weren't allowed to talk about.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that totally relates to what you just said. I mean, myself, my sister had passed away when she was 6 months old and my mother was pregnant with me. And I can tell you that has influenced my entire life. And, you know, today is my birthday and I'll be 58. So,
happy birthday!
Thank you. It has made a great challenge for me to go through, though, because, being as I was sensitive, I would feel all my parents' pain, and they have carried that with them forever. But also, too, I was also in the reactionary position. So whatever that pain they had, that it kind of spewed into whatever the next person was. And I think that was a long time for me to even work to disconnect from a lot of that and to realize that I had something of myself separate from that. And, you know, even still, I probably still carry, you know, we all carry that with us. And,
well, you probably became a fixer. You probably became someone who felt the need to make it better for them because of their pain, especially if you were in utero, because then you absorb the energy of the pain that is around you in the environment.
Right, and I think that really imprints your DNA. People don't realize, and I really think it does. It sets you up. You pretty much carry that with you. Well, okay. Now, I didn't ask you beforehand, and you have the right to say no, but is there any messages for me? Because my head is burning. I have a terrible neck pain, and my hands are sweating. So something or someone is burning. So you have the right to say
this
no.
This is what I feel for you, Jeanette, is and I think it's an important message for you to hear, is that I really think that this is an important, there's something critical happening in your life where taking care of yourself is critical. It's really, really important for you. So I don't know if you've been putting yourself on the back burner, if you've been distracted with another situation or another person and haven't been able to honor your needs and your wants as much as you need to. But I feel like Spirit is getting your attention, not just today, so not just because of how you're feeling today,
mm-hmm.
but this feels like something that's been pretty consistent for, I would say, a few months, that there's a bigger message here. And I just keep hearing, choose you, choose you. Do you understand that?
Yeah. Kind
so
of.
Choosing to take care
because
of you.
It's so, yes. Take care of me, yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I feel like your attention is going in, like there's 50 different ways it can go, and it goes in
mm-hmm.
those ways, but it doesn't necessarily always come back to you. And
mm-hmm.
it's really critical for you to be making sure that you're putting yourself at the top of that list instead of at the bottom of that list.
Yeah, and I do need to make a change, a big change, and I have not been able
to feel like
that.
It.
Yeah. Yeah,
it feels like, and I feel, and the word I heard was critical. You know, it's critical for you to do this. So that's a strong, especially coming from me. I like to choose softer words. So when it's a stronger word like that, I think it's really sending a message to you.
And I guess going back to the beginning of the call, when I heard those iron grates last night, I hope that wasn't
mm-hmm.
putting the locking door on it.
I don't feel like that. I feel like it's more of it. It's the grates are more of how it's affecting you. It's almost like, you know, when like people go to bed at night and they grind their teeth,
uh-huh.
and it's usually because there's stress and it's affecting their body. That's more of how it feels to me.
Yeah. Well, a change is in order. It's just when you don't want to make the change to hurt other people, and I think that's where I'm really stuck, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I feel like. I feel like there's all these people over here and you, and what I think that is important, though, is see what's happened is you've been sacrificing yourself and your own happiness in order to not make other people upset
right.
or affect them, but I think it's affecting them anyway. And if you could see that or allow yourself to recognize that, I think that, you know, if you could go 9 months ahead to the future, you'll appreciate that you made this decision. But right now, because of the direction of the way you're looking at it, it's feeling like it's a lot harder. But I think there's almost an expectation or more of an understanding than what you feel.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We'll see where we'll be in 9 months, right?
yeah. Baby steps, my friend.
Yep, that is
baby
true.
Baby steps. And so that's what I think the physical, you know, it's like there's this burning message. Well, it's because this not making this decision is just it's eating you up.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Yes, it will. And for the listeners, too, when you say things like that, like eating you up, it can physically eat up your insides of your body. And it can
absolutely.
It can take out your spirit. It can take out your light. It can do all that.
Yeah. It can cause your migraines. It can cause cancer. It can take away your vitality, your energy level, your all kinds
right.
of things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we talk about, you know, the mind, body, spirit, it definitely is a full circle because a lot of people like to separate it out and say, I'm going to go to the doctor for this one and I'll go to church for this thing and, you know, I'll meditate for another. But it really all is coordinated together.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big believer that when we have an issue in our life, we have to heal it on all levels. So there can be an aspect of it that can be supported by the medical community, allopathic, naturopathic, or homeopathic. And then there's a part of it that needs to be supported through our mental state and our thinking. And then there's a part of it that needs to be supported through our spirit and our energetic connection. And I believe we need to do all three in order for it to move out and healing to occur ultimately.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, you really do have to clear out the energy before you're able to make sometimes movement, but sometimes just making a movement will clear out the energy. So it can be both ways.
Right. Doesn't matter which one comes first, just as long as we do all three.
Right.
Mind, body,
right.
Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Sunny, we've come to the end of the show, and it was great having you. I was wondering if you could tell the listeners a little bit about your books and some upcoming events you may have.
Okay, yeah. Well, the biggest upcoming event is a TV show, so we want viewers. So Saturday the 14th, 7 p.m. on Lifetime Movie Network. That is not Lifetime Channel. It's Lifetime Movie Network, LMN. So please tell all your friends, go on Facebook. I have a big Facebook community, and we really want to share that through social media. They can go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com, for more information about all of the events. We'll be in Fargo in July, Fargo, North Dakota. We're going to do a retreat in Minnesota. I think we have two spots left in the retreat in Minnesota, northern Minnesota, at the end of July. We'll be in Indiana in October. I'll be in Sedona, your previous home, doing a hospice fundraiser October 17th to the 19th. We'll be in Minnesota, again, Minneapolis, this time in November, doing an event, and we'll be in Chicago in August. So we'll be traveling around. My new book comes out October 1st, The Love Never Ends, Messages from the Other Side. It's available for pre-order on Amazon or on my own website right now. And there'll be all kinds of stuff in between there. So that's what I know about right now that I can think of anyway.
That's enough to keep anyone busy, I'll tell you. Well, it was a pleasure to have you with us today, and have a great summer, and keep yourself busy this fall. Sounds like you will be.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. If you'd like more information about Sunny's events, you go to sunnydonjohnston.com. The link is on today's website, where you'll be able to find out more information about Sunny. And also, you will be able to click to her webpage, and all of her events are listed there. So thank you so much for being with us today. It has been a pleasure. If you'd like more information, please do visit today's show page. Click on the link on the bottom of the page. And until tomorrow, have a great day.